It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
What's up, everybody? Joe Costello back with you, a little WFO Radio right in the middle of the day. Oh, yes, we're going to have ourselves a good time. Hopefully all you race fans out there are not going too crazy as you are trying to figure out exactly what to do as we do our thing. Now, we got a great show for you here today as we are reaching out to all of our friends in the racing community. And we have made a lot of friends over the years on WFO, whether it be NASCAR, IndyCar, not so much Formula One for whatever reason, and of course, NHRA drag racing. I want to remind everybody, we got a couple of great sponsors who make it all possible, talking about samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology, and Total Seal Piston Rings. Of course, they have done such a great job with the Hidden Horsepower podcast. Got a special podcast. Keith Dorton, speaking of NASCAR country, one of the great engine builders of all time, our guest on an episode that just dropped today. So check out Hidden Horsepower. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, The Dragster Adventure, frankhawley.com. Marvin Rodak's roasting coffee for me right now, and that coffee should be showing up at any second. And of course, magicdry.us.com. These people help WFO, the podcast, and we encourage you to subscribe. But right now, we're going to delve into it with our guest, who is, you know, what is he? He's a Gander RV and Outdoor Camping World Truck Series racer for DGR Crosley Racing. But I know him as the 2018 Mellow Yellow Pro Stock World Champion, Tanner Gray. What's up, Tanner?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Now, we miss you on the NHRA side, but you're making it easy by doing really well. Last race out, eighth place, Las Vegas. This break's got to really have you bummed because you were really moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's definitely been a tough transition and been a lot of ups and downs and pretty steep learning curves. But all in all, it's gone okay. You know, obviously, I would have liked to go better. You know how I am and, you know, really competitive and want to win. So I don't feel like I've won enough from what expectations I had to start out, but all in all, it's going well. We had an eighth at Las Vegas, and I felt like that was a decent run for us. I felt like we should have finished better than eighth, but it was definitely a step in the right direction. That was just something that I have to learn from. I ended up making a little bit of the wrong call on the last adjustment we had there on the pit stop, and wasn't the right way to go. So, you know, like I said, it's just something I got to get better at and just a big learning curve.
Well, and that's got to be part of the challenge. You have these expectations and you know you've got talent, but there's this world of things that you are just learning. And so the frustration, I think we all know what frustration is now, that we're all stuck inside, right? Like we want to go out, we want to do more than we can, but we can't because this is where we are. Not dissimilar, right? You know you've got the talent and the driving ability when it comes to the car, but there's another world in this game you've started, which is knowing how to make the car better.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things where you know you can do it, like you said. It's just a matter of putting it together, and it seems like that's the hardest thing to do. Like you see even these cup guys that you see them, like Christopher Bell, for example. I mean, he won everything in Xfinity, and he's in a pretty good car. And it's not that he can't drive or that he isn't good. It's just not everything's come together for him yet, and he's still learning and stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing as that. It's just a matter of everything coming together. Like everything else, you know, the same way in drag racing. You know, it's just timing and be at the right place at the right time.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk a little bit about drag racing, and I want to keep digging in on this, though. You mentioned Christopher Bell. What a super talent he has been. And and he did have, you know, some close runs early on. Daytona, you had a great run going at Daytona. And I hope my drag racing fan listeners feel the same way. Like, we feel like we got a guy now, a guy to watch. Like, you've moved over there. Would he have the talent to do this? I don't know. I know he thinks he's got the talent, but would he have the talent? Yeah, man, the kid's got the talent, and you were in contention for a top five late in the going at Daytona, then you got caught up in a mess.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Daytona is – it's cool, and I really like super speedway racing. But at the same time, it's kind of one of those deals where you just got to position yourself throughout the race. And that race has gone terrible for us. We got caught up in the first wreck with, I think it was Majeski when he went over. And so we got caught up in that, and, you know, I was trying to miss that, and I was going down the banking, and I forgot who it was. This kind of like drove over my right front, and we didn't hit very hard, but it hit just right to, you know, completely ripped the right front off, right front tire went down, bent a bunch of suspension stuff. But so that thing was a handful. Like, that was, it was a lot of fun to drive it, but at the same time it sucked, you know. I was like, dang. But it was cool to have enough speed to be there at the end and just have a shot at running inside the top 10. You know, we were just trying to minimize our day and try to keep ourselves out of the rest of the junk that was going to happen. But obviously we got caught up in the last wreck there. But if it wasn't for that, I think we could have finished anywhere from 5th to 10th, which would have been okay, I think, considering we got damage early. It would have been a good points day and whatnot. But yeah, Daytona was super cool. I liked it a lot more than what I expected to like it. But yeah, I'm excited to go back.
Wow, there you go. Do your thing, man. I got you. That's I love your office. I can see you got all kinds of collectibles on the walls and everything. It's kind of a sparse. What is that? Your trophy case getting ready to get loaded up? Where are you guys?
Yeah. No, I just moved into a new house like probably 4 months ago now. And obviously, I'm not very good with decorating. My mom kind of tries to decorate most of the time. So, you know, and then with racing and stuff, I feel like I don't really have time. But yeah, everything's pretty blank, as you can see. I don't really have a lot to keep in here. But
that's,
yeah,
the before picture.
Fix it. Yeah, I got one picture wall right here.
Hey, there you go. And you got pro stalkers up there. That's great. How's Amber and how's Shane and how's Taylor? How's the fam?
They're good. They're really good. You know, obviously staying busy. My mom, as we did when we drag race, my mom usually goes with me and my dad goes with my little brother. And so that's just kind of always worked for our family. And so, that's what we continue to do. And, they're doing good. They're in the process of building a new house right now. So they've been busy with that. And then, you know, my dad was going pretty much every weekend with Taylor, getting him ready to go run some ARCA races this year. And then obviously my mom with me. But I feel like she has a little bit easier with me because I'm a little bit older and kind of can do my own thing. My dad's pretty hectic with Taylor running around because, you know, he can't even drive yet. So he's having to run him all these different places and, you know, kind of steer him in the right direction, which is kind of funny to watch, but yeah.
Well, it's hysterical that he can't even drive yet, but he's a race car driver.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny too. And that's what it's funny because, you know, he can't even drive, but he's probably better than I am. So it's funny to watch and see. He's so young, but at the same time, every time you talk to him, you feel like you're talking to a, you know, 20-year-old kid. So
okay, so we're talking about your brother here. This is a great subject because I think that he's a secret that will be revealed to everyone that you know about because he's your brother, and I'm fortunate enough to know about because he was the little kid working on Steve Torrance World Championship car. And you're absolutely right. He's got this mentality that's so beyond his actual age. And I've heard, and for you to willingly say it, like, maybe he's more talented than me and love the fact, right? Like, man, my brother is awesome. Like, that's going to be a cool relationship 5-10 years down the road.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're definitely still competitive with each other and we both definitely mouth at each other back and forth. But, you know, I genuinely do think that he's just a little bit more talented on that side of things. I still believe that if he wanted to go drag racing that I could pretty much drag him up and down the drag strip every time. But when it comes to circle track racing, I mean, he is very talented. And, you know, it's funny because I ran a late model race with him at Hickory earlier last year, I guess. And we were there and I kind of just didn't really know what to expect. That was my first time racing with him and stuff. And by the end of the second practice, I was over there and like he raced late models a lot more than me. And I was over there like asking him questions about stuff. And you know, he was giving me really good answers, which was funny. And he was fast and we were both fast that weekend. I think he ended up winning and I was running like fifth to eighth and ended up running out of gas. But yeah, it was really cool to sit there and just watch him and, you know, learn from him and, you know, let him pick my brain a little bit. So it's been really cool to be able to race with him at DGR, but it'd definitely be interesting to see how he progresses this year with him running the full ARCA series and stuff like that. It's going to get tough for him, I think, as it should. And I think it's good.
Keith out there says, "Hey Tanner, miss you in the NHRA, but following you in NASCAR." And that's really all that matters, is that people follow along with you.
Yeah, for sure. And I appreciate that. I love every time I get to see someone say that, you know, that followed me in NHRA, that kind of followed my transition over to NASCAR. And then they understand it, you know, so I think that's cool. It's you would think that there would be more, but there's not a whole lot of people that actually kind of stuck with you, I guess, if that makes sense. I feel like it's two different sides, and that was kind of interesting to see when we switched over. It was like diehard NHRA fans and diehard NASCAR fans, and you only have a small group in the middle that actually kind of supported both, I guess. But yeah, I thought it's cool to see the people who did transfer over with me.
Well, we're transferring over with you, of course.
Well, I appreciate it.
You know, I don't understand that, actually. Like, we're car people, and we love cars and going fast, and that's such a small group in the world of sports fans anyway. Like, you know, I get it. I'm more of a drag racer, but I love NASCAR, too. I worked on NASCAR radio for many years. Like, I love NASCAR. And so what's different? What's the same over there, Tanner? Like, okay, you're working with cars, and you're surrounded by a lot of smart people, and it costs a lot of money, and they're handing you this piece of equipment that you know, you really shouldn't break it, but sometimes it happens, maybe more often on the NASCAR side. So what are the similarities, and what are the differences?
Honestly, there's really no similarities. It's completely two different worlds, and that's something that took me a minute to get used to. You know, obviously walking in the pits of a drag race, I was super comfortable and stuff like that, but it took me like the first three quarters of last year to even be kind of comfortable walking in and like being able to sit there and be like, all right, this is what I'm doing now. You know, I just felt uncomfortable walking in to these places I've never been. So obviously it was a new track. I had to learn pretty much everywhere I went. But yeah, I mean, as far as the people goes, it's pretty much the same. Yeah, you got a lot of smart people on both sides. I'd say the NASCAR side of things, I feel like, is just very, like in the garage area, it's very down to business. You know what I mean? Like, you show up, get your work done, and you leave. As far as NHRA deal, it's more of a family feel. You know, you get there and you hang out with your guys all day, and you get your work done, but at the end of the day, you know, you might sit around the pit area and hang out and, you know, converse with other teams. It's not really like that on this side anyway.
More of a work environment.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, we'll get there, the garage will open at, we'll say 7 a.m., and then the garage will close at 4 or 5 p.m. You know what I mean? And you have to be out. So it's very strict, like you said, work environment. You get there, get your work done, and get out.
Got it. Makes sense. Now, you want to get back to racing. You want to continue your evolution. DGR has got a lot of great drivers, though. Haley Deegan is part of the team, like popular young drivers. You mentioned your brother. That, to me, is the hallmark of a good team, all kinds of cross-pollination. So what's your relationship like with your teammates who aren't family members?
It's good. You know, obviously, I'm only getting to run a handful of ARCA races this year, basically just the ones that Taylor wasn't old enough to run. I'd like to add in a couple more mile and a half races, but it just depends on how it works out. But so far it's been good. I've got to race with Haley and Thad at Daytona and Phoenix, and I felt like everything went smooth at Daytona, which it's pretty easy, you know, it's pretty straightforward. I feel like we struggled quite a bit throughout practice and stuff at Phoenix. Didn't really have the speed that we wanted, but ended up racing well. But yeah, I felt like for the most part, as far as teammates go, I felt like we worked together good at Daytona. We didn't really get to work together much at Phoenix, obviously, because you're not drafting a whole lot and stuff like that. Everybody's kind of out for themselves. But Daytona, I feel like we worked well together. Me and Haley, especially, we got together there like the middle part of the race, and we were running third, fourth, and I felt like we had a really good shot to win. But obviously, had some mechanical problems on my stuff. So kind of took me out of it and kind of left her sitting there because she was the only DGR car with Venturini cars all around her. So there was no one really to help her or push her to a win. So, so far, I feel like we've worked together good. But like I said, it's going to be more Taylor working with them than anything. And, I think they'll get along good, though.
Being in the truck series, the big show is right there. You can see it. You can taste it. You know you want to be there. You know who's there. That's been the goal, and you've thought about that for a long time. So we've heard so many stories of a driver in the trucks or Xfinity series doing something amazing and catching the eye of what eventually becomes his long career ride. It's got to be in your mind, right? But the best way to be successful is just to do what you can do as best as you can do it. So talk about that balance of like wanting to seize control of a moment and make something happen. But at the same time, if you do something silly or stupid or unwise, you could damage yourself also. Literally.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of the big thing is, you know, you got to be aggressive and you got to go for wins and stuff like that. But at the same time, you can't be stupid about it. And I think that's important because once you do something, everybody knows throughout the garage, you know what I mean? So I think it's important to kind of think about it long-term, but at the same time, I mean, you can't race scared or anything like that. But yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I've never really thought about it like that. You kind of put it in a different perspective, I guess.
Sorry.
In that way. No, you're good. You're good. But at the same time, you know, like I tell you, just like drag racing, you just got to take it one race at a time and do the best you can do. And the outcome will be the outcome. So, you know, as long as you're giving it 100% every weekend, then that's all you can do.
That's it. What about moments like in a drag race, you roll through the water box, you've got this track laid out in front of you, you've got one competitor in the other lane, and it's really all about you being perfect for this 3 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hit the light, hit the gear shifts, throw the chute, get stopped. Hopefully you won. This deal, different tracks, different corners of tracks, different daytime, different weather conditions. There's wind coming off a grandstand. Now, some of those things happen in drag racing also, but just a lot more different elements and more competitors out there, and they're not doing what you want them to do. They're doing everything that you don't want them to do because they've got their own trying to get past you on mind. So it's got to be different, and the relationships have got to be challenging. Managing all these different hungry young people out there trying to get to the front.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's definitely different. I think drag racing, I definitely got more nervous in the sense of, you know, you just couldn't make mistakes at all. And I think that's what it came down to is who made less mistakes in that day. And circuit track racing is kind of the same way, but if you do make a mistake, you have time to make up for it. So, for me, I think that I definitely got more nervous with drag racing, but there's definitely a lot more that goes into the driving side of things with what I'm doing. I feel like, you know, in the ARCA series last year, you know, when I ran, I feel like there was five guys that could win each and every weekend. And then as you move up, that just progresses. Like in the truck series, I feel like there's maybe 10 to 15 guys that could win each weekend. And then as you go, I feel like that just gets harder and harder. So I think the how challenging it is each and every weekend is tougher in NASCAR just because there's so much talent around you and you're literally racing with every spot. You're dealing with air and then obviously the mechanical grip, stuff like that. You know what I mean? So kind of the stuff you don't deal with in drag racing, whether, you know, where it's just like, you know, I got to go up here, hit the tree, shift five times pretty good and hopefully I can win, you know what I mean? And whereas NASCAR race is just a long period of time and you're constantly thinking, it's more of a chess match than it is in drag racing, I think.
Interesting. Now Kurt Busch a couple of years ago ran Pro Stock one race and it was an experience for him. Once you get settled, now's not the time, but down the road, you ever see yourself jumping back in a drag race car for one event at some point on an off weekend? I'm sure you'd have the invite and the connections to do so, but also there are contracts and agreements like, hey, you can't do anything crazy. But is that something that would be in your mind to do once you're established?
I mean, I don't know. I I had the opportunity to go and run that Orlando race, and I actually turned it down. I wanted to, but at the same time, it was kind of one of those deals where I was like, I was sitting there thinking about it, and I ended so good at Pomona, and like everything just worked out so good. I think my average reaction time that weekend was like 007. And so it was something ridiculous. And, I wasn't going to be able to work with the same guys that I had. And I was like, it almost just wasn't worth it just because I wasn't going back to the same thing that I left. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
That's more important to me than actually going out there and racing the cars, because I had fun racing them, but I have way more fun driving what I'm driving now. But the thing I miss is the people and the relationships that I have with my guys, and obviously winning. So it was one of those deals where I was sitting there, and you know, my dad kind of brought it up to me, and he was like, he said, it's kind of up to you. And I was sitting there and I'm like, I don't think I want to do it, just because, you know, it's not the same thing that I left. And I'd rather kind of have that last race at Pomona to look back on and all those good memories rather than go to some race for 50 grand or whatever it is, and not be working with the same guys and maybe struggle. I don't know.
Sure.
You know, because I someone asked me the other day, I actually got a DM on Instagram. I was messing around with Sean Langdon. I saw he posted a deal about a practice tree race. And I commented and I was like, maybe I'll have to come out of retirement or something like that. And someone actually DM'd me and they're like, hey, do you want to, I guess it was a separate race. Like, hey, do you want to join my team? And I replied back. I was like, man, I don't think that's a good idea. I haven't picked up a practice tree since Pomona. I was like, I'd be slow. So I was like, it'd take me a little bit to get back going and try to get in a rhythm again. But I was like, I don't think you want me on your team right now. So that's the other thing, is I haven't even picked up a practice tree since literally the last race at Pomona. So I don't feel like I'd be as good as what I was when I ended.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. You take 5 hits, you'll be up to speed, I think.
That's what they say, but until you're in there, I feel like I probably notice a lot more things than what people would notice on the outside. So it'd probably drive me crazy.
Maybe. Well, listen, you know, you say you miss the people. I think a lot of the people miss you. Last year, it was weird not having a defending champ to talk about, but I get what you're doing, and it's even better that you're doing it well, because it made it all worth it. Like, man, this kid's got a real shot to go really far, and that makes it fun, because I don't have a driver right now, man. All my drivers retired, so I need a new driver. So NASCAR needs you to do well so that I can be, like, really into it again. Tanner, thank you very much. Please the best to Taylor and your mom and dad. Say what's up from WFO Joe, and thank you for making a little time for us here today.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you having me on. I love being on your show.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Now, great times. Keep it going. Thank you very much, Tanner. We're going to drop you out here, but thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Cool, thank you.
Later. There he goes. Tanner Gray. How about that? That was great stuff. And I did get a look at this. Steve is like, there's a bad echo when Joe is talking, not happening when Tanner is talking. And I can tell you, it was the sound of my voice going up and hitting that empty trophy case and then back down into the microphone. This guy's in an empty room. But that's okay. That's all right. All right, so it's just me and you, commenters out there. You got any thoughts, anything out there? Those of you watching on the Facebook. Yeah, we fired this one up. I'm going to be on a little bit later on today, in fact. This is like a... This is the early day version. We didn't do anything live yesterday because the Reinhardt Q&A went so well on Tuesday. It was just tremendous. And it's up on Facebook, and it's in the video section of the WFO Radio app. It's also on YouTube. But and Kathy says she misses the kid. I miss the kid, too. There's a whole dynamic that went on with Tanner, and I was bummed about it. Honestly, like, I liked the kid and I liked his attitude and I like him, and everybody pretty much liked him within the driving community. And he got showed his emotions, which is what everybody wanted. But, you know, a lot of loud people out there was like, oh, you know, can't believe he gets mad. Well, he wants to win. And so we miss him and would love to have him back. But I understand what he's doing. And I get it. You know, the iRacing thing, we talk about it. The seat time aspect of it is just so much more seat time. Be perfect for 3 minutes or have 2 hours to go through this ebb and flow of up and down and try to be in right position at the end to maybe be perfect and win the race. It's just a different style of racing. And I wish him luck, but you know, Taylor, his brother, man, I got a great Taylor story. I didn't drop it there. I think Tanner's heard it, but I will tell you guys momentarily. Want to encourage you guys to subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Of course, all this audio goes up for the WFO radio listeners who are audio only out there driving over the road, taking care of business, doing hard work. And we got some other podcasts as well, like Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal. I don't want to get hiding behind it. And Factory Stock Podcast. We got a lot of content on those, and it's all because of our great sponsors like Total Seal Piston Rings and Samtech.edu. Of course, Marvin Rodak. If you want some great, unbelievable coffee, you got to get Rodak's right now. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. And I mentioned Alan Reinhardt. Reinhardt, the Q&A session was great, and you guys made it great through the comments section, which is really what makes this a little bit different. Like, people are able to please, where is this? Look at that. No, I'm not. This thing's a little going sideways. After Tanner left, the echo went away. Please turn off your radio issue, apparently. That's exactly what it is, because he had those cupboards behind him, like trophy case, and it was just bouncing off that right back into his phone. And we threw this together rather quickly. And so that's the story. But anyway, the sponsors are out there. The podcast is out there. Also want to mention Steve Brenwald, Brenwald Media, doing a lot of our graphic arts artwork. Great guy, available for you as well. Hit him up, brenwaldmedia.com. All right, so here's my Taylor Gray story. Taylor worked on Steve Torrence's Top Fuel Dragster for a couple of years. Taylor is several years younger than Tanner. So you remember Tanner turned like started racing at 18 on the NHRA side, maybe 17, very young, very young. I don't keep track of everybody's age, but Taylor is several years younger. And so Taylor maybe 12, young. So I noticed as I walked through the pits, I noticed that there was a kid working on Torrence's Top Fuel car. And I hope I'm not letting the cat out of the bag anymore because it's all over, but there's a kid. Like, there's a kid. And so I studied the kid. Like, I was like, what's up with this little kid? You know, some people's inclination would be to say, you know, what's that kid doing there? And that's not my style. Like, I want to know what's going on. He's obviously there for a reason. Steve Torrence and Bobby Lagana made the decision. Richard Hogan made the decision that this kid can work. And the kid's working. He's not, like, wiping tires, man. The kid's doing real work. So one day I decide I got to get to the bottom of this. I get to the bottom of this, and I go wanting up, and I'm all full NHRA gear, right? And he doesn't know me, and I don't know him. So I was like, excuse me, how old are you? And it was like a ghost, like a white stripe went down his back, like there was fear. Jenny, oh, that's it. The jig is up. I'm busted. It's over. I'm busted. Oh, no. And I was like, it's okay. I just want to know. I'm not telling anybody. He's like, I think he said 12. I don't know. They had him doing some stuff. And whether that's top secret or not, hey, oops, it's out. Because he's now off to a driving career in ARCA. And Tanner just said he's wise beyond his years and a great little kid. And both of those guys, he's not little anymore, by the way. He's big. Both of those kids have grown up great. And that tells me something about Amber Gray and Shane Gray and Johnny Gray, their grandpa, who has also had great success in the NHRA. Big thanks to you, Tanner, for coming on the show. All right. We got some people out there on the Facebook and the YouTube. Want to get everybody later on today. This is what we're scheduled to have. Okay. Working on it. The folks at Drag Racing TV on Roku have put it together for us. You may not be aware, but the past couple days of WFO shows have been posted on Drag Racing TV on Roku, and they're making a channel. It's Chip Lofton and Strutmasters have made a channel on Roku. If you've got Roku, you can download it. It's free. And the WFO shows have been up there as well. But they have provided a guest for us today. And it's a little different than our normal NHRA conversation, but not so much different than our Ignition conversation, because it's going to be Keith Berry and Fletcher Cox. Fletcher is a Super Bowl winning team of the decade, as voted by the Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, or the Eagles, as they call him in Philly. And he was on that Super Bowl winning team, but he's a drag racer. Like, most importantly, he's a drag racer whose job, daily job, is football. But he's a drag racer. So we're going to have Fletcher and we're going to have Keith on the show. I'm going to talk about what they're up to, a new car that's being built. And this is kind of on the Radio versus the World Outlaws side of the universe. And Drag Racing TV on Roku has put it together, and we're going to enjoy them, and it'll be up on Roku. And I am interested to talk a little NFL with Fletcher and a little drag racing promotion with Keith, and talk a little bit about what goes into Radio versus the World. And very similar to what I just asked Tanner about NASCAR, you know, similarities between drag racing and football. Are there any? Tanner says, no, there's no similarities. They got four wheels. They got an engine. They got a driver. You're making horsepower. But other than that, it is very different. So when's that going to happen? Approximately 4 o'clock later today. Approximately. So watch the WFO stream. Remember, you can watch this on YouTube. The YouTube channel is WFO Radio TV. That is the YouTube channel, and we encourage you to go check that out. Of course, certainly love people watching on YouTube, and the YouTube channel was dormant for several years. Like, our YouTube channel was just dead. We posted the podcast, and now there's something on the YouTube channel. You can get the YouTube channel in our WFO Radio mobile application. WFO Radio has a mobile application, and it has a videos section. In the video section, you can see all of our Facebook Lives and YouTube stuff. So the WFO Radio app continues to be relevant in this new era. So definitely. Also, I want to remind you, NitroFishRacing.com. You can get a WFO Radio t-shirt. Speaking of which, tomorrow is Friday. And that means Friday cocktails. We're going to get together at approximately 4 p.m. Eastern time, like we did last week with Courtney Enders and Jason Logan. With I hate to promote guests in advance, because then something happens and they can't do it. So I never promote guests in advance. But now with this live deal, I'll promote a couple of guests. Randy Lynn Shipp is going to be our happy hour guest, and possibly Clay Milliken, working on that, making it happen. Randy Lynn, of course, who's very responsible for the WFO Radio t-shirts at NitroFishRacing.com. You should get yours. YouTube, go there, subscribe, enable push notifications. That way, when we go live, you know. Facebook supposedly sends out a notification, but I don't get it. It's hit or miss. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud. That's where you get the show. This is a podcast, people. We're still doing a lot of podcasting, and that's what our sponsors are supporting, the podcast. Podcasting is bigger and better than ever. Of course, live streaming is happening because everybody is trapped in their house. That's it. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitter machine, WFO Joe. I sent out a tweet, but I'm mostly a retweeter. Now, if you got nothing to do, head into the archive and check out Alan Reinhart, the question and answer session. It's on our Facebook page. It's on YouTube, etc. You should check it out. And he answered a lot of great questions. We had a great conversation. And this is all thanks to the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. Did you know you could drive a dragster? You can drive a dragster at frankhawley.com. I'm not talking about super comp license. They have like a little thing they put together where you get in the car, no previous experience necessary. That's what makes it cool. You get in there. The Dragster Adventure. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Brand new Hidden Horsepower episode. Keith Dorton is our guest. Keith Dorton from NASCAR country, as in Automotive Specialists Racing Engines, was Ralph Earnhardt's balance. Ralph Earnhardt was his first paying customer for an engine balance. His brother Randy Dorton was the head engine builder at Hendrick Motorsports, who was killed in that tragic crash on the way to Martinsville several years ago. And so Keith has got so many amazing stories about, like, learning to smoke a pipe so that he could blow the smoke into the intake manifold plenum area and understand airflow inside the plenum area. Amazing stuff on Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal. But of course, it's all about piston rings with them. So if you're a DIY engine builder, you're an engine builder, you've never used Total Seal, give them a call and get on it. Also, Sam Tech, Factory Stock Podcast. Everybody loves Factory Stock Showdown. You know that. I know that. We're going to get back to racing soon enough. Catch up on last year's season and the first episode of 2020. Now, it is all a little bit of a moot point because we didn't do it. But we will do it when we get back to the Gator Nationals and when everybody gets back to normal. I want to thank all you listeners out there. Well, let's see. Kathy says, loves Randy Lynn. She'll be wearing a Randy Lynn t-shirt. Well, maybe I'll be wearing my Randy Lynn t-shirt. I don't need people to wear my shirt every day, Kathy. You don't have to wear my shirt every day. Just buy it. You could put it in a frame. You could put it in a drawer. You can, no, listen, you need to wear it out to where the race fans can see you. If you're solitary in your home, don't wear the shirt. If you're out amongst thousands of people, which doesn't seem to be happening too much these days, I don't know why. That's when you wear the WFO shirt to the track. That's when you wear it at the track. And it's as simple as that. But really appreciate you guys. And again, Fletcher Cox, Keith Berry, tomorrow, Randy Lynn, maybe Clay Milliken, like spoke with Clay earlier this week. And Clay was like, yeah, I'll do it in terms of coming on the show at some point. And so it's just a matter of getting it all dialed in. And I think 4 p.m. is going to be the time, because it's got to be happy hour time. It's got to be right around happy hour, late in the going, so we can like get off the air and chillax. Anyway, that's going to do it. The archives are loaded, everybody. Get on the archives and check out what we got going on here. I was able to get through a broadcast. At least we're not over yet, but without having some sort of craziness happen. Hey, it happens. Shout out to all our listeners out there. Remember, the WFO Radio app is loaded. All kinds of content from a year ago, from last year, from this year, interviews, great interviews, all of these things. So check it out. You can get us on SoundCloud. You can get us on Spotify. You can get us on Stitcher. You can get us on Apple Podcasts. Plus, we got our own mobile application. And we post all our shows to Facebook and our own Twitter account as well. So that's going to do it, everybody. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associate's of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Hey, everybody. How do you start your day? You started off with a little coffee. And do you want something cheap and vacuum-packed with garbage? Do you want to pay for a retail coffee? It's like $11. Or do you want something that is good, like Rodax Coffee and Grills.com? Join the Rodax Army. WFO users and listeners know all about it. Over 40 grades to choose from. This is roasted fresh for your order, not to mention hot sauce, spice rub. You got to call Marvin, get on the phone line, or go to the website, Rodax.com. coffeeandgrills.com. Check it out. That's Rodax coffeeandgrills.com. Hey, engine builders. Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com. You're working in the shop, you've got spills, you've spilled oil, it's everywhere. What are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com. Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO.
Hey, WFO Universe, want something for free? Send a self-addressed stamped envelope with plenty of postage, and we'll load it up with free WFO stickers. That's right, I said free. Send your envelope, care of Castello Media, /WFO stickers to P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Do it now.
This is WFO Radio.